Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. This time of year, high school seniors are finishing up college applications. Some have even received a couple of acceptance letters. 18-year-old Chris Cotillo of Northborough is no exception. But amid the flurry of homework, exams, and school dances, Cotillo made time to attend the winter baseball meetings in Florida. And armed with a Twitter account and a cell phone, he's been breaking major baseball news.
Stories that much older and more seasoned reporters are missing, like when pitcher Ricky Nolasco signed a $49 million deal with the Minnesota Twins in November. Cotillo broke that story. A few days later, he was the first to report that the Detroit Tigers were trading pitcher Doug Fister to the Washington Nationals.
Well, here to talk to us about his big scoops and about what's next is Chris Cotillo, writer for Major League Baseball's fan blog Daily Dish, and a senior at Algonquin Regional High School in Northborough. Chris, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So I understand that you started your baseball reporting career when you were still a sophomore in high school, right? How'd you get started?
Right. Well, at that point, it was just kind of a Twitter account, and I was aggregating different news and rumors that all the other reporters were reporting and kind of keeping a log on Twitter, more for myself than anything else. But people started noticing it and using it as a source for all the information in one place. And after a while, it gained a couple thousand followers, and that seemed like a ton to me at the time. And people in the game started following it, and that's players and agents and executives. And through that, through Twitter, I was able to connect with them. And those people eventually became sources who allowed me to break news before any other reporters.
It's really, really surprising. So it all begins with Twitter. Did you open your Twitter account with a goal of becoming a baseball reporter?
Not at all. I mean, again, it was just me keeping track of news for my own purposes. And, you know, I never really thought of this as a career path. I was always told, you know, growing up that I was a good writer. And I had a seventh grade English teacher, Mrs. Berger, who was really influential and helped me become a really good writer. And so, you know, I always thought of writing as a passion. But to think of it as a career, it was never really the goal at first, but now it definitely is.
So, as we mentioned, you're breaking these big stories using sources that it's taken other reporters decades to cultivate. I know a good reporter doesn't want to give away his strategies or his sources, but give us a hint. What's your strategy here?
You know, I can't get too specific, but just
as you shouldn't.
It's, you know, you have to try to find unconventional ways to get information and just ask for help, because there's people that are more than willing to give it.
Hmm. Do you think that being so young in this field that tends to be dominated by veterans, I mean, do you have an advantage in that?
I'm not sure. I mean, partly because, you know, if it's an agent, I haven't written anything bad about the players they represent yet. Mm-hmm. Or if it's an executive, I haven't written anything bad about their teams yet. So I think there's probably bad blood between sources and reporters just based on different opinions that they put out there. And I don't have that track record of opinions. And, you know, hopefully people are looking at me as a fresh face who they can get information from and give information to.
Hmm. So I have to ask you, as we mentioned, you've been doing this since your sophomore year. You're a senior. Shouldn't you be doing your homework instead?
I do. And that's always the priority. It is. But it takes a lot of time to do everything that I need to. There's a lot of balance that's involved with it, and that means that I only get to sleep 4 or 5 hours a day. But, you know, my body is kind of trained for that at this point.
Now, what do your teachers make of this? Because I understand you actually work on some of your stories during classes at school, right?
My teachers have been really supportive of it. You know, if they ask me to put my phone away in class, I completely get it. The priority is to learn and stuff. But, you know, baseball news is time sensitive, and if I have to turn my phone off sometimes, another reporter is going to beat me to the story. And I'm learning doing that, too.
Now, we mentioned, Chris, that you attended the winter meetings in Florida after you broke a couple of those major stories. What was it like to be down there for you?
That was an incredible experience. It was meeting everybody who I knew virtually and actually meeting them in real life. That includes sources and other reporters. And then, you know, people who I haven't personally interacted with but have been heroes for me as a kid, you know, Kevin Millar and Jason Varitek and Curt Schilling and those kind of people from the 2004 Red Sox were all down there, and people actually knew my name and, you know, were congratulating me on good work. And I really appreciated that from a lot of people.
I've seen stories about you now in the New York Times, the Washington Post, the Boston Globe. You were recently interviewed by Bloomberg TV as the new face of digital journalism. Do you think your success would have even been possible 10 years ago without Twitter?
I don't think so. I mean, social media is the great equalizer. It gives everybody a voice, regardless of age, regardless of how well connected they are to start. Everybody has a voice now using Twitter and Facebook and other social media sites. So with that, it allowed me to connect with important people and with almost 20,000 fans now who follow and, you know, trust me as a trustworthy source of baseball news.
So what are you working on now?
The same daily grind of trying to get breaking news just like I do every day. Hmm. And then submitting my college apps as well.
Before I let you go, though, I've got to ask you, you are a Bay Stater. What do you expect from the Red Sox next season?
I think top to bottom, they're one of the top organizations in baseball. They have a good group of returning veterans that are going to be the core of that team, and then one of the best farm systems in baseball, too, for the next couple of years. So coming off an amazing year in 2013, I think they could possibly repeat.
They're going to recover from the loss of Jacoby Ellsbury?
Jackie Bradley Jr. is a cheaper alternative, and I think he'll step in and be able to play almost as well as Jacoby did.
Mm-hmm. So, Chris, I assume that this is the start of a career. Do you see yourself doing this after college and going forward?
Definitely. I mean, you know, it takes a while to build up credibility, and it took me a year and probably more than a year to do that. And so to be able to have that already, I'm going to try to build on that as much as I can and hopefully make a long-term career out of it.
Well, Chris, best of luck, and thanks so much for joining us today. We're very grateful.
Thanks for having me.